Is it time for a podcast already?
Check 1 2, check 1 2, check 1 2, check 1 2.
I go to your seat, lady, cause this one's a screamer.
I didn't know that.
What's up, listeners? Welcome back to another episode of the Garlic Jar Podcast Show. Tonight, we are coming at you live from the Upside Down. So strap in and get ready for the most metal concert in history. Tonight's episode, we are going to be talking about this summer's smash hit TV show from Netflix, Stranger Things, if you have not guessed already. So tonight we're going to be discussing all things Stranger Things because finally, after begging and pleading, Matt and Zach have finally watched the series for me.
We did.
So guys, are you ready? Are you ready?
I've been ready for this. In fact, I've watched Stranger Things a little, obviously a while back, but it took me a little while to, get onto season 4, get through season 4. So, yeah, I was a little delayed on that, but I'll tell you what, the delay was well worth it.
100%, 100%. Zach, what was your thoughts? Good, great?
It was good once I forced myself to watch it. I binge-watched seasons 1 to 3 in a day. So, then I took a break got on season 4.
That's a lot of watching for one day, holy God.
Well, I didn't have work and I was bored. No one was around to hang out, so why not?
I get it. So, I've been watching Stranger Things since it first came to Netflix, and if I had to mush together, not even a genre, but if I had to describe Stranger Things to somebody that didn't know what the show was about, I would say that it's kind of like The Goonies meets The X-Files.
That's a pretty interesting way of putting it. I will say. Yeah. I mean, that's a good description of how you would hybrid it, just to say how you have a group of kids exploring something, trying to find out, what's going on. But to me, it's sci-fi, it's mystery, it's horror, it's got everything wrapped in there, It's just it's that super that show of supernatural forces, secret government exploits, and just everything with the kids. They're just trying to search for answers. They're trying to unravel these extraordinary mysteries,
Yes. I think it's a great show, and I think the seasons have just been getting bigger and better as the series has progressed. And the Duffer Brothers have announced that next season is going to be the final season of Stranger Things.
Yep. But we don't know a release on it, correct?
No, there's no release, but people are speculating. Every season so far has hit in the summer. It's been a summer show.
Mm-hmm.
So I would assume that it's going to definitely not be next summer, because I know that a lot of the actors have signed on and are doing other projects.
Oh yeah,
Gaten Matarazzo. He's going to be in Dear Evan Hansen on Broadway for the next few months. I think this week actually was his debut.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then I know Steve, the guy that plays Steve, Joe Keery, he's shooting another film right now. And I'm not sure when, Millie Bobby Brown is shooting Enola Holmes 2, but she's also an executive producer on that. So she's going to have a larger role with that picture as well.
And I'm sure too, what's his name? Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be wrapped up with the next Ghostbusters, because they are going to be continuing that,
Yeah, that's going to be amazing. Interesting. I'm very excited with that.
Two interesting things here about why we wanted to talk about this tonight. Well, actually, I don't even think why we wanted to talk about it. It just fits. It's so perfect, because if you think about this, right? Yesterday, July 15th, that's the first episode that debuted on Netflix. It debuted July 15th, 2016, season 1.
Yes.
So how about that? Today is currently July 16th. We're recording literally a day after an anniversary of that first episode dropping.
We 100% are.
Yep. And then look at Sadie. Now, you're talking about Gaten Matarazzo. He's heading to Broadway. And so, Sadie Sink actually had Broadway experience before.
They all are very good singers.
I did not know that.
No, I didn't either. So then, you know the girl that plays Dustin's girlfriend?
Yes.
She's also a Broadway kid.
That's amazing. Like, I feel like that's, like, becoming more common. Like, when you come across these TV shows, you find out that they have a Broadway background.
Yes. You know? And then, I don't think the guy that plays Lucas does, but I know he can sing.
Hmm.
And I don't know if it's because I saw it on TikTok or something, but, and Noah Shapp, who plays Will, I think he can sing too. And he likes to do the rapping, I think. Rap, whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, I think they all have some sort of, like, musical talents.
Pretty good stuff.
Yeah. So, I think it's a great, well-rounded cast. And then, you know, like, you have Maya Hawke, who plays Robin. Her parents are Uma Thurman and Ethan Hawke.
I remember learning about that, like,
yeah,
because I honestly swear to God, I did not know that until, like, somebody posted it on social media, and I was like, what? But yeah, now, every time that I see a picture of her, or I see her in that show, she's like a spinning image of Uma, you know?
Like, yeah, I can, like, see it in the face. If you look at Ethan, like, a long time, like, I feel like it's a perfect mesh of both of them.
Yeah. That's a good celebrity baby right there.
Yeah, it 100% is. 100% is. I just hope that we don't have to wait as long as we did for, like, between season 3 and season 4.
I know.
For season 5 to come out. Because that was, we've been waiting, what, 3 years?
It was a long time.
I think it was 3 years. Because, like, I know that things got
hairy COVID.
Because of the pandemic.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think they started shooting in, they shot season 3 in, what, 2018?
Right.
And then we got it, you know, July 2019.
Correct.
So then, like, I know a lot of people were quite upset about how, like, aged the kids were.
Yeah.
But, like, what are you gonna do? You know what I mean? There's, like, 3 years in between shooting.
I mean, I didn't think the age gap was that significant. I mean, kids go through growth spurts. I mean, I could definitely see it being very typical. I mean, some of them kind of, I mean, for me at least, I think Dustin kind of just looks like the young kid that he always was,
Can I tell you, he's one of the older cast members. He's 20.
Get out.
Yeah, I think he just turned 20.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that wild?
It's funny, because here I am talking like he didn't seem like he aged a day, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that is funny.
I think Finn is probably one of the most significant changes.
Yeah. I'd say he had the most significant hit of puberty and that growth spurt, you know?
Yes. But so. I don't know, I wasn't mad about it, just because, you know, we've been fans since the beginning, so, like, kids age, like, what are you gonna do, you know?
I mean, you know what, people are gonna pick on that. I mean, that just goes back to what we talked about last week in our episode, you know, people being so critical over something.
Gatekeeping.
Yeah, you know, like, come on, just shut the hell up and watch it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But what's everybody drinking tonight? Do we have any beverages, some foodies in front of us? What do we got going on?
I've got some lemonade for the summer here.
Oh, nice. Always a good summer drink. Mm-hmm. Zach, what are you chugging on down there?
Oh, I just took 2 shots of Jim Beam Honey. I have a Mike's Hard Pink Freeze right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a chicken patty.
No, okay, nice. I'm not snacking on anything, so just to give everybody a heads up over here. But I did have a Fireball shot before we went on, and I have a new IPA here that I would like to give a shout out here to White Birch Brewing Company of, I believe it's St. Nashua, New Hampshire. So I will definitely put that on my IPA list and check that in on the Untappd app for all my favorites out there that follow the beer on Untappd. Check them out. It's a good IPA. It's actually called, and I thought it was very fitting, because I wanted a beer that was going to be very relatable to what we talk about tonight, with being that it's like Stranger Things. The beer is called Something a Little More Interesting.
That's the name of it?
It's a New England style IPA, 6.2%, small batch ale, and the title and the name of the beer is called Something a Little More Interesting.
Okay.
So, how about that for a little Stranger Things, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so I guess there's only one thing to do. Let's buckle up, strap in, and get going.
All right, where do we want to start?
Well, I think you're doing a fabulous job right now. I think you need to, you really need to start with season one, and let's just go from there and transition from next to next.
We're going to start with season one?
Well, I mean, do we kind of want to fill in the background? Like, do we kind of want to reminisce about some of those moments that lead up into season four?
Yeah, sure. So, season one kicks out with a bang on episode one.
Yep.
And this was kind of like, to me, like a grasping episode, because I feel like if you don't have a good, I feel like if you don't have a, like, you know, a good pilot, then, like, the rest of the series is just, like, all downhill. So, like, in our first episode, we see that one of the main characters, his name is Will, he goes missing right in the first episode.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He is kidnapped.
Yep.
So, every following episode of season one is his friends and the police are trying to find Will and make a connection, like, to where he is and, like, what happened to him.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that first episode, like, it really needs to start strong with a good pilot. So, like, if we go back to that, chapter one, season one, it's, I think it was actually called, right? The missing case of Will Byers?
Yes,
or something like that, right? Is that what it was?
Which is why, you know, that kind of, like, grasped my attention, because I'm like, oh, I'm like, is mystery. This, like, a murder mystery show?
Yep.
So, that's what kind of, like, grabbed my attention, and
But from going there, speeding up, like, okay, so we know Will goes missing.
Yes, Elle escapes from the Hawkins lab, which is, like, you know, just a hop, skip, and a jump right from, like, the middle of town, and Mike stumbles upon her and, like, takes her under his wing and tries to, like, help her and get her clothes and, like, you know, find out what's going on. So he, like, tries to help her all while trying to find Will, which we learn Elle is connected to whatever is happening to Will.
Oh yeah, 100%.
So,
and I mean, the boys discover that she's got superpowers, aka that telekinesis or that telepathy, whatever. What would you consider that? Would it be telepathy? Would it be telekinesis? Like,
yeah, a bit of both.
A little both, you know, because she could read minds, she could move things, she could cause things to manipulate, you know.
Yeah, just like to me, like, she reminds me a lot of, like, Jean Grey.
Yeah, and I think they mentioned that too in the first season, didn't they? Like, compare her to an X-Man.
Well, so, like, when actually, like, right before Mike goes missing, right before Will goes missing, he is racing bikes with, I think it's Dustin.
It is.
And he mentions that he wants a specific comic book, and it's, like, one of the Phoenix comic books or something like that. And I was like,
that's crazy.
Oh. So, yeah. They like to put, I feel like the Duffer Brothers are big with, like, pop culture, and they're very, like,
oh my god, are they ever with the 80s especially?
Yes, they're very smart about, like, the moves and the specific things that they plant in the episodes.
I couldn't agree more, because I think, like, literally, if anything, like, the first season speaks loud about the time frame that it's in.
Yeah,
and like you were just saying, the pop culture moments going on.
Into Dungeons and Dragons.
Yep, like the games they're playing, the comic books they're reading, even the styles, the clothing, the music that you're hearing throughout the
Clash. Yeah.
Yep. I think that's what kind of glued me. You know, for the longest time, a lot of people were like, "How did you not watch this show?" And I was like, "At first, I didn't have Netflix. What got me to get Netflix was I remember you were one of them too. Like, you were on my ass about this, saying, "How do you not have Netflix, Matt?" You know,
how do you live? Yes.
Yeah, so it's like, and especially, like, everybody nagging me where it's like, you're such an 80s man. Like, you like your 80s, you like your 90s and everything like that. And that's, I'm telling you, that's what actually, like, even just additional to the storylines going on and the characters that you're meeting, it's the time, the setting that actually I fell in love with. I just kept on going and going and going. You know, you have those smiling moments, those chuckles where it's like, you know, those references that they're talking about. But yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. It really is.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
So, but I mean, I think that's, I mean, season one did kind of captivate. Like, I mean, that was where we needed to see what happened with Will going missing. Elle discovering her.
Yes, there's also, like, a creepy, like, government, I don't know, I don't even, like, there's a government influence, like, looming mm-hmm. over the whole show. Like, who is it that the...
Hawkins Lab, right?
Right, but, like, then there's, like, what is it? Who is it? Governor Sullivan? Lieutenant Sullivan? Whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Who, like, you know, like, when Elle goes missing, he shows up in every season, and, like, he's, like, determined to freaking get rid of her.
Yeah, because I think that was part of it where the government had agreement with these labs, and I think that's what they wanted to do. Didn't they want to weaponize her or something like yeah. that? Yeah.
Yes, and so I think this, I can't remember what his name is, though. Is it?
I think you're right. I think it is Sullivan.
It's definitely Sullivan, but I don't remember what his rank? Government title is. Yeah.
Well, let's see, because I want to say I thought by season four he was actually Colonel. Now, I could be Colonel. Wrong. I could okay. be wrong, but I thought it was Colonel.
Sullivan. I just don't want to talk about him incorrectly. Do you know what I mean?
Well, let's see. You know, a little thing. This is where we're going to make a call into New York at the, what do they call that? The, when they do, again, I'm thinking of like football when they call into New York. All right, let's review the play.
And they still get the wrong answer?
they do.
He's Lieutenant Colonel Jack Sullivan. You're
there
right.
There you go.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah. So, and so I also was... like the actor that plays him. He's
badass.
He's you know, doing a good job of being a pretty scary dude.
Very intimidating.
So, like, there's also, like, you know, like, I don't want to say, like, the government conspiracies, but I feel like there's also, like, some of that.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like, do you remember when we did, the Manson episode and we talked about, the mind control?
Right.
Like, to me, this, and, like, the government involvement and stuff, like, to me, this feels like that situation.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know where you're going, because I could hear Sean in my ear.
I know, right?
Saying
he's
Project
gonna choke
me
for, like, not knowing the name of the...
Yeah.
The thing.
Yeah, not Project Blue Book, but it was like...
No, definitely not Project Blue Book.
You know,
that
like,
was,
I...
That's the aliens.
Yep, and Manson, it had something to do, you're right. There was conspiracy that he was part of a government experiment, and, that's cool that you brought that up. I would have never... Wow. That's mind-blowing.
Yeah, so, like, of course this was... That was 20 years...
Oh, yeah.
That was in the 60s, not in... MK Ultra.
MK Ultra.
It just came to me. But... Yeah, like, to me, I feel like, especially, like, the, you know, the whole, like, mind control and, like, trying to teach kids to, like, you know, do all this stuff is, like, you know, has, a touch of, like, MK Ultra. Because, yep. like, that was also, like, part of child trafficking as well.
But think about that, though. Do you think maybe that could have been a pretty good reference right there that we might not be... You know, we might not be seeing. I mean, I could definitely see Hawkins Lab and government, you know, kind of working yes. on something like that. Because that's like the CIA's secret mind control experiment, you know?
Yeah, because then, like, you know, like, all of a sudden, like, Lieutenant Colonel Sullivan, like, rolls in there with his, like, you yep. know, concade, you know?
And, like, you know, you look at Charles Manson, like, okay, was he a lab rat? Was Elle a lab rat? You know, I mean...
Yeah. Well, yeah, like, that's kind of cool. I don't want to say there's a theory, but, like, I'm wondering if, like, her mother was also a part of these, like, experiments.
Oh, yeah, that's... And because, I mean, we did get a little bit of background on her, but
we did,
not enough to actually find that.
Well, also, like, not to, like, just immediately skip to season four, but, like, I don't know about you guys, but I really think that one might be Eleven's dad.
Oh, shit. Fucking oh, shit. Vecna.
Yeah.
That is some that's fucking heavy,
right?
I agree.
How do you,
Vecna's
oh
been,
god,
Vecna's been the main villain from the start.
So because he was definitely like,
great Scott,
older. He was the one that yes. started it all. He took Will. He was the one that started this.
He did, and like if you remember back to like right there in that little tree scene when Will like rides his bike into the tree.
You can hear the.
We don't see Jamie Campbell Bauer. It is 100% not Jamie Campbell Bauer, but you can see his like shadow and like you see his hand.
You because, can
like, that one hand is bigger
if,
than the
if
other.
If you
one.
Listen closely the to claws. The background noise as well, you can hear the same exact the clock as in season 4.
Yes.
Interesting.
Now, like, of course, at the time, you're just like, oh, shit, what is that? You know what I mean? Like, you're not, like,
well, right.
dots together yet, because this is just like, you know, we're dipping
our
toes in.
He was the one behind every main villain in every season.
Yes, because we think, now, like, of course, we don't know about season 4 yet.
Well, yeah.
If we move on to, like, season 2... the Mind Flayer is, like, the big bad for season 2 and 3. So, we find out that the Mind Flayer is this, like, I don't know, it's like that powder stuff in, like, that, technically, like, the Upside Down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in seasons 2 and 3, we are made to believe that the Mind Flayer is, like, the ultimate bad. So, like, if you also, like, because I'm not sure if you guys know Dungeons & Dragons, because I sure as shit don't.
I played it enough to know how the game is. I was never a dungeon master, but okay. I mean.
So, like, when you say, like, the Mind Flayer, like, you don't know, like, the character, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, so in Dungeons & Dragons, the Mind Flayer is, like, the ultimate bad.
Yes.
So I don't know if that's the direction that they're going to, like.
Mm-hmm.
Go to, because, like, and then, you know, in season 4 we get Vecna, and Vecna is, like, under the Mind Flayer.
Yeah.
So we still don't know if that's how it's going to, like, turn out.
I think Vecna took control of the Mind Flayer.
Okay.
If you ever noticed how Vecna's obsessed with spiders, the Wind Flayer is shaped exactly like a spider.
He is, and, like, if you remember in season 4, when he's a child, he draws the Mind Flayer. We see that when he shows Nancy.
Yep.
Yep.
Who is, like, also, like, my favorite female of the series.
Great role.
She is great fantastic, character. And she just keeps getting, like, more and more badass as the seasons go. Like, she started off, like, oh, smart, quiet Nancy Wheeler, and now she's, like, you know, like, shotgunning people, you know.
I love it, like, because she's just making Jonathan more of a pussy, you know.
I also, so, like, my I don't know about you guys, but my favorite characters, like, hands down, like, I really enjoy, like, the adult dynamic.
Wait, I have to guess this. Hang on. I have to, and maybe
I guarantee you can't guess mine, but yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm gonna guarantee I know Jenna's favorite character.
Okay.
Well, and
it's a tie. Like, I'm splitting it into three groups because you have your adult dynamic, you have your teens, and then you have the kids.
Okay.
So, like, I have a favorite from each group.
I feel that your top favorite, now I'll say adult, is probably Murray.
No.
Oh, man. Close. I would have thought because of the sarcastic, like,
season 4 Murray is definitely my favorite Murray, though.
Okay.
But my favorite adult character is Hopper.
Okay, and that's my favorite. That is my hands-down favorite adult character.
I especially love in the early
seasons.
Zach,
how about you?
Yeah, I guess, brother. Come on. I'm going to make you work for it.
Well, I'm not going to say Murray.
No.
Okay? I'm not going to say Hopper because we're obviously talking about it, but I guess adult. I was going to say... That's a good guess. I was going to say Dr. Owens.
Oh, I like him too, though. Like,
I do too.
Guy. I don't like Papa. He's a dirtbag.
Well, Papa's a bastard.
Yeah, he is a bastard, but no.
Better not be your favorite.
No, same as you guys. Mine's Hopper.
Oh, okay. Hey, Hopper right across the board.
I really enjoy his. Now, before, like, because we meet Murray in season 1 when Barb goes missing, but he's, like, in it for, like, 3 seconds and that's it. So, like, he plays a bigger role in 2, 3, and 4.
He does.
Like, Hopper's comedic relief in, like, the early seasons is just, like, astounding. Especially, like, when he comes into, like, the police station, he's like, it's too early, and you know what I mean? Like,
Like, he's freaking out, like, is everything tapped? The Soviets are after us?
I just like how much of a badass he is, to be honest.
Yes. Yes. Okay, Matt, is your favorite Hopper as well?
Mine is.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't but know. My I second was thinking favorite that would you be were Murray. Do Joyce. See, no. I thought it was going to be Joyce just because of like
Winona Ryder, her, Tim Burton.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that would have been close. Now she is my favorite female character. Okay. So like kind of how like you say like okay you like Nancy. Nancy? No, is my I do like Joyce.
I also like Mrs. Wheeler.
Oh God.
Like I think she's funny, but then like the whole like thinking about how she was gonna like cheat on her husband with Billy, I was like, ma'am, no.
I will say
no. I was waiting for it. I was like, yeah, this is gonna get
I will
it.
Say I do have a favorite scene. I forget what exactly which season it was from, but they're in the Wheeler house, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
With the fucking pancakes and the fucking father tells Dustin, he's like, yeah, help yourself, and Dustin's just like, okay. And he takes like all the fucking pancakes, and the guy with the glasses got, like, just yeah, and he's just standing four. There.
I'm pretty sure that was this season.
Yep.
All right, so let's move on to the teens.
Okay, let's go to the teens.
Who wants to go first?
Well, I mean, my favorite out of the bunch. I'll just kind of admit to it. You guys don't have to guess, but
yeah,
my favorite right there would be. Actually, a new one that was introduced here. I like Argyle.
Oh, yeah, he's cool.
I love him. Cool. He's and you know, it's not because Matt's growing his hair and he's trying to go for the surfer look here. Oh, that does make it enjoyable and pretty funny. I'm not going to lie. But I just like his retro look to him. Like, he's just like, it's just like a typical 80s surfer dude. It's like, it reminds me of like a Spicoli character from Ridgemont right. High, you know?
Yeah, Fast Times. My favorite teen is Steve. Steve Harrington.
Steve.
I love Steve so much.
Okay, I like him, but not enough to give him a top trophy of... Yeah, you're my favorite.
Oh, I do. If Steve dies, I will riot. He was actually supposed to die in the first season.
I remember there was a lot of people were rushing right to social media saying if he dies, they'll be up in arms about this.
Well, so like he gets the shit beat out of him like every single season.
Oh, hey,
every season.
Listen, sometimes you gotta take a beating, you know.
Yes.
And yes. we thank you, Steve. You took enough beatings to help us get through this.
He did. Now, like, you know, the end of the first season, I was not, like, a fan of what was happening to Steve Harrington, but then he decided to, like, smarten up, so it's okay now.
Okay.
So, like, you know, like, when he wrote, like, what was it, Nancy the Whore Wheeler or whatever on the cinema marquee?
Oh, I mean, hey, that was, that's your high school drama,
care.
You know?
I know, I don't care. You don't be a D-bag, so.
I know.
So, that was the only, like, my dislike of Steve, but he has since amended his ways and decided to become the father role in season 2.
Which was pretty cool.
Yes, like, I love when he shows up with, like, flowers for Nancy and Dustin's like, we gotta go!
Yeah.
Do you still have your bat? Yeah. Actually, I think he was like, which bat?
but poor Steve, it's like, you're ruining the moment for me every time. Like, come on.
Yes. All right, Zach,
I don't think I have a favorite teen.
No?
No, I have a favorite kid, but not a favorite teen. I don't know.
Okay, all right. My favorite kid is Dustin.
I knew that
Same.
Was coming.
Yep.
His level of sarcasm and smart-ass comments is the same as my own, so I relate to him, and I enjoy it.
See, I like Will. I think he's got such badass hair, you know?
He has the worst haircut
that was,
of the whole series.
Yeah,
he's got Will's, the best haircut of the series.
Will's haircut. No, Will's haircut is the true enemy and true villain of Stranger
Zach
Things.
Zach and I were literally just talking about this yesterday. He needs to get a better wig for next year.
They won't. They'll keep it the same.
Probably.
It's a meme. It's a meme
will.
At this point.
He needs that hair. If he doesn't come back with that hair, we're all going to be.
It's a meme at this point.
I also like
Listen,
honorable
don't
mention.
Hate Will. Hate his barber, okay?
I don't hate Will. I hate his haircut. That's two different things, Matt.
Yeah, you hate the barber, not Will.
Also, honorable mention, I love Lucas's sister, Erica.
Yes.
Oh, she's a little spitfire.
I love her. She is hilarious.
Yep. Great character, too. Like, it's just like, it's like, man, she's cooler than your brother. Like, yes. I love it. You know?
And favorite newcomer, obviously, Eddie, also has my heart.
Oh, yeah. Eddie yep. was truly a great character put into the series.
Yeah, he was. And, like, I actually also liked Chrissy, too.
Yeah, okay.
And I know that the Duffer brothers now regret, like, killing her, especially, like, so early, because they apparently shot her death scene before they shot the scene when they're in the woods and they're just, like, hanging out, trying yeah. to, like, when she was trying to buy weed from them, like, in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they didn't know that they were going to have such great, like, dynamic.
That was a good character. I mean, yes. There was definitely a connection there, too. I think Eddie was actually having, like, there was a romance growing, you know?
I don't know if I would go that far, but, like,
I think there was. I think Eddie had a crush.
I think there was a subtle hint, but it would take a while for them to get to that point.
I mean, he was making her laugh and smile. She was melting over Eddie.
I know, but she's dating, what's his name, Jason?
Oh, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. That could all change.
No, I'm not saying that it can't, but, like, I don't think at that very moment she was looking for, like, a relationship. Mm-hmm. She was too worried about the strange shit going on in her head, and she was looking for a friend. Just as, like, a female perspective, guys. Female perspective.
Okay. I get that.
So, like, maybe Eddie was into her, but I don't think that's what she was looking for at that second.
Okay. So, just to wrap up, because, I mean, I know the next half of the show is going to be really going after season four.
Yeah.
So, like, seasons 1, 2, and 3, how they wrap up. So, it all resulted from Will going missing. Yep. Over the course of time of what happened with Will going missing, we do find out that the kids and the extraordinary bunch of explorers, or whatever we want to call them, in Stranger Things, they come across the fact that it is something much stranger. Will did not die.
No, he
that
did
was
not.
A great discovery too in the first season.
There was a government cover up with that.
Government cover, yep, in that the fake body. But like the kids knew, like even though that they went through a turmoil of time there, thinking that their friend was dead, it came out and they knew that no, there's more to this. It doesn't make sense, you know. So, yeah. And I do like how, you know, season two goes into that now where they face bigger things, bigger threats. You know, the threat just started at one point where you had a missing child case, and obviously it was an upside-down world, a threat. You know, it was an entity that they didn't know of anything how to battle. But then once they battled that in the first season, they knew what they were getting to in seasons 2 and 3. It just became something worse and worse and worse spawning from that. You know, that's how I look at it. I mean, the gate just opened up more and more threats, you know?
Yeah, because so like in season two, like the Mind Flayer uses Will as like a spy.
I was going to say like a look
in. Kind of like possessed. Yes.
A looking glass.
Kind of like possessed. And the, I don't know, I'm going to call it like the dust gets left in the real world outside of the Upside Down. And like, that's how season three, how he gets Billy and he gets like a physical body in season three.
And that was crazy too. I mean, wow. Holy God. Villain, yeah. A villainous role. My God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dacre Montgomery. He was excellent.
Yeah. He's a very good actor.
Yes. And he actually came back for season four for a cameo, which
he
was
did.
Cool. Yeah. It was in Dear Billy.
Okay, so, I mean, I think we're almost at our halfway mark. Do you think maybe we should take a break at that point, or?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Well, listen, we have a lot more to talk about with Stranger Things. Obviously, our catapulting topic is really going to stretch towards the latest season of, you know, series four. Or season four of Stranger Things. So why don't we refill the snack bowls, maybe refill the beer glasses here, and you know what? We'll be right back. All right, everybody. Welcome back after that short little break. Well needed, well rested, but we are suited up and getting ready to talk about Stranger Things season four. Holy roller coaster. Get ready for this one because I'll tell you what, out of this series Netflix has produced, I've probably felt so much emotion in this one. Jen, Zach, I'm sure you guys could probably agree with me on this one. This one was a roller coaster ride. And I mean, I just, Jen, you really got to start, like, start from the ground here and work our way up. Where are we going?
Yeah, so if we, you know, we just kind of, like, gave the background for, like, 1, 2, and 3. But if we really get into season 4, so this was the biggest and the longest, like, episode time-wise for Stranger Things, like, to date. So, like, a lot of the episodes were, like, over an hour, and, like, even, like, it came to us in two parts. So we got episodes 1 through 7, and then we got 8 and 9. Episode 8 was, like, 90 minutes, and then episode 9 was, like, 2.5, which is just, like, a movie itself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we... Sorry, excuse me. We start off season 4. Now, we all know that Hopper was alive at the end of season 3 because, like, the Duffer brothers threw us that little surprise that one summer in between, like, one of the 3 years that we didn't have Stranger Things. And we're also introduced to, like, you know, the new character, Eddie, who is, like, in charge of, like, the Dungeons and Dragons club at the high school, which, you know, some of the kids are now at the high school. Some of them are moving on to college, like Nancy, Jonathan, Steve, I think Robin eventually. I think she's probably, like, a senior. So that's where we start season 4 with, and... at the end of season 3, bless. At the end of season 3, we see Will, Joyce, and Eleven, also Jonathan, pack up and get the hell out of Hawkins.
Yeah.
So, it's, they kind of, like, they moved to California, and, like, don't get me wrong, like, I like Argyle, but, like, I don't know, I just thought, like, California was so, like, out of place. I don't know about you guys.
Well, I don't know, because, I mean, for how much they went through, I know I could understand that they wanted to get far away from the problems that have been occurring in Hawkins. Yeah. So, like, I kind of feel like that's, like, everybody's far away distance. Like, if I'm going to move somewhere, I'm going to go to California. Or if I'm going to move somewhere, I'm going to go to Florida. Like, I just feel like those are, like, the top two parts where if you're going to get away from something really... close that you've been to through years and stuff like that, and you're going to try to make the far reach of things, I would think those are, like, the first two choices that come to mind. You got to go to California or you got to go to Florida, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I just, like, I felt... So, like, we see Elle is, like, super bullied by, like, the popular kids.
Oh, yeah.
And it made me feel, like, terrible.
It was odd. But, I mean, a good realization, though, too, of, like, you know, how somebody could go through an experiment or an experience like that, you know?
Yes.
It was painful to watch. I mean, and you definitely,
like,
felt for
it. She lies to Mike about it. You know what I mean? Like, I felt terrible. And then, you know, she beats that one girl with a roller skate at the rink, and then the cops show up, and then, you know...
That was great.
Colonel Sullivan tries to show up, and... Yeah. So, that just made me, like, super sad. What else? Season 4.
Well, I mean, she didn't have her superpowers. Next thing you gotta use is a roller skate, you know?
More efficient than a fist.
Handy.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So, where do we go? So, like... Then, if you think about it, like, everybody is split then. So, we have half of our time. Well, I shouldn't even say half, because there's, like, 3 locations in season 4. So, we have our Hawkins base group, which is Dustin, Lucas, Max, Steve, Nancy, Robin, and Eddie. Then we have our California group, which is Jonathan, Argyle, Will, Mike, and Elle. And then we have our Russia group, because Murray and Joyce, Joyce gets a package, and it says that Hopper's Russian'd off. Yep, so she's like, we going to Russia, and Murray's like, hell yeah, and they go to Russia to find Hopper.
The great escape, but the great rescue at the same time.
Yes. So, he's in, like, I don't know, I don't even know, like, because that's definitely not, like, a real prison, you know what I mean? That's probably, one of those, like, creepy, like experimental things.
That is an experimental camp and a half.
Yeah, because like we eventually see, I think it was in like episode eight maybe.
Yeah.
You see that the prison has like all of those like demogorgons and like the little ones, like the demodogs.
Yep.
We've got gazillions of those. So like how long has this shit been like open in like Russia as well? You know what I mean?
Yep. And so, remember when I told you, like, when Russia started coming into this? Because I think the first location that they showed things taking place, it was in Kamchatka, Russia. Okay. And my biggest thing that I thought the Duffer Brothers were going to write into this series was the fact that this was probably going to be, like, a Chernobyl-related experiment that would have went wrong, and they would have blamed Chernobyl for it. And I was just thinking of it because in the time frame of when, you know, in the 1980s, when the Chernobyl explosion, everybody knows about that. There was a series about Chernobyl. Yeah. I thought somehow they were going to tie that into Stranger Things and blame, like, you know, these mysterious demogorgons or whatever they were called. You know, the experiment that they were working on was actually going to be the Chernobyl cause, you know?
Yeah, because, like, technically, in, you know, present day, that's in the Ukraine.
Right.
But, like, at the time, it was definitely a part of the Soviet Union.
Correct.
So, that's a good, because, like, actually...
My theory was wrong, but...
Well, actually, so, like, our... I don't know, though, Matt, because if you think about it, which I don't want to, like, skip ahead to, like, the music, but...
Mm-hmm.
If we skip ahead to... if we skip ahead to like our favorite scene, which is Eddie shredding in the Upside Down, which we're gonna circle back to music in a second, but like the song that he plays is Master of Puppets.
Mm-hmm.
And that was released in, if I'm not wrong, I'm pretty sure, I know it was 1986.
It was.
But I'm pretty sure that it was March of 86. If you want to do a quick Google search.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Release date was March 3rd, 1986.
Okay. So, if you think about it, Chernobyl was at the end of April in 86. So technically we haven't gotten there yet.
That's true. Oh, so my theory might come. My theory might come.
So I'm not 100% like shooting that down, but yes. So if we think about Stranger Things, this is happening in the spring. So I'm going to say March because like Mike goes to visit Elle in California on spring break. So that's 100% like, you know, like right before Easter. So
yeah.
I'm going to say that, like, the Metallica song came out, Eddie spent, like, 3 freaking days, and he, like, memorized that shit, and then, like, you know, we get, like, the most metal concert in the history of the world in the Upside Down.
Amazing.
Yes. So, I want to circle back to music in, like, a hot second, though. So, if we keep going on with, like, the plot, you know, like, we've see Hopper, and they're trying to, like, essentially see if these people know how to defeat these Demogorgons, which they just take prisoners and throw them at the Demogorgons, and they get eaten. Until they choose Hopper. And we all know that Hopper knows how to deal with these things, because he's been dealing with them for years now. So, they steal alcohol, and they steal like cloth, and he gets like, they make a makeshift spear so they can kill it with fire, and yeah, so we see Hopper in, like, you know, the little prison. I don't even know, like, is it a yard, is it like,
it's, I would like call it a prison area. I would call it like a courtyard in the prison.
Okay, so like, and that's where, like, you know, like they face off against the Demogorgon, and like after so much like shit happening, Joyce and Murray finally end up there, like, of course, on like the day that this is all happening, you know what,
right.
I mean, so
better late than ever though. You know I mean. Come
on. Yes, so, you know, we finally get like the Joyce Hopper reunion that we've freaking been waiting 3 years for.
I was waiting for a big sex scene there, by the way.
Matt, it's a kid show. Kid show.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, guys.
No, 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 but I'm just saying, like, this is, like, a legit, like, kid show. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, I don't know. No.
Yes.
There's something in this show for everybody. Come on, now.
No, no, Matt, I get that, but, like, it's a show about kids, so they're 100% not gonna show that. If they didn't show Mrs. Wheeler hooking up with Billy, they're sure as shit not showing Joyce and Hopper.
All right, I guess I'll just come out and just say it right now. My apologies.
All right.
Sorry. Keep going. All right.
So.
Yeah, now you know how I felt fucking last episode, you fucker.
Hey, payback.
Mm-hmm. Now we're even. Sorry, Jen. Had to get that up.
No, you're fine. You're fine. So. Oh, God, I don't even remember where I was going with this tangent. My thought was interrupted. Oh, yeah, Joyce and Hopper.
Yeah,
and then, like, we still have, like, the Murray comic relief because he is loving his time in Russia. He is thriving.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, like, I think it gets kind of choppy, though, at times when they're trying to, like, jump back and forth between, like, the three settings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You really, I found it very, like...
Is that a karate reference, by the way? Choppy?
No.
Okay.
I found it very difficult to follow along without, like, full, like, 100% concentration.
Because then, like, you also have, like, the flashbacks of, like, L that you're trying to, like, follow. And, like, because these episodes were, like, so long, you got, like, so much information. Mm-hmm. So much.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like season four was just kind of like, we got half the book in one sitting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we get a whole big,
I feel, you know, like,
background on one.
I feel like season five is going to be the same way. It's just going to be like,
because they've got to wrap shit up here.
Yeah, it's going to be the same way. Like, an hour episodes, maybe even the finale being like an hour and a half or something.
Okay. I also think that, I don't know about you guys, but as I was watching this season really, because, like, the Duffer Brothers like to definitely, like, insert, like, pop culture and stuff like that. And I feel like that season four is kind of like a reflection of Empire Strikes Back. Anybody else getting that vibe?
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, we obviously have, like, Elle is going to be our Luke Skywalker. And... 1/Vecna/Henry, as Robin would say, is going to be, like, our Vader. I feel like Nancy and Steve are giving off Leia and Han vibes, especially because, like, in Empire, you have, like, you know, your different, like, settings and places. And also, our heroes did not win this season.
That's true.
They did not win.
Yep. I mean, they at a point, I mean, what they've done is they've safeguarded themselves just for enough time to recollect, you know, because the threat hasn't been eliminated. We know that Vecna is going to be, he's coming back.
Oh, yes. He is 100% not dead. 100%.
So is this like Revenge of the Jedi now? Or no, I'm sorry. That was the original title of the movie. That should have been Revenge of the Jedi, but is this going to be Return of the Jedi now coming in?
Yeah, I would think so, because, like, Elle's got her powers back. Like, she's ready to go. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, I also want to talk about, like, some theories that you guys have.
Okay.
And, like, I feel like, I don't know, unless you want to go to music. Do you want to do music next?
I mean, the big thing about season four is that I really like the whole Nightmare on Elm Street vibe.
Yes.
This series, how it wrapped up in for season four, it really reminded me of a horror movie vibe, and it had
especially with the house.
Yes, the house. Yeah. Even Robert Englund.
Yes.
Portraying
like when you didn't see season four, I was like, oh, I know he knows it's coming, but like I can't wait for Matt to see it.
and you probably were like, oh, Matt's gonna fucking shit.
I was, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't wait for him to see it. And then I totally forgot to text you like after you saw it.
Like, this is like Robert Englund playing Victor Creel. That was an amazing, and I the biggest thing that I loved about it is that they went back into his past to show how Vecna came about, Henry. Like his son. And that was just like, that was like daunting. Like it was like, for him, that had to be so torturous for, you know, to lose his family, to lose his son. He couldn't do anything about it because he didn't know, you know?
Yes.
And of course, what he's being faced with now is the blame and the trial of sitting there now forever and ever in a cell because nobody is ever going to believe you. No one ever is going to see your story to be straight. You're a wacko. You are completely psychotic. You've cut out your eyes. You've casted yourself to be in this cell for the rest of your life. Yes. And I kind of felt like Vecna was the Freddy Krueger of all this, you know? Yes. Vecna was the Freddy Krueger manipulating everything, like, going like into fingers, those kids' minds. You know? Yep. And that was like the whole dream sequence of these kids not sleeping. Well, it was them getting manipulated in their minds, you know?
Yes.
So I had nightmare. That was my theory on like the whole entire season four, that this had Nightmare on Elm Street written all over it. It was, and I'll tell you what, I mean, we could say that this was Nightmare on Elm Street meshes with the Empire Strikes Back theory. They both just blend together to build a story, you know? And I think it was awesome.
Yes. And actually, like, season four got 13 Emmy nominations.
That's awesome. That is completely awesome.
Yes, but the only thing that sucks, though, is Sadie Sink and Elle got snubbed. They were not nominated as, like, lead actresses or supporting.
I would feel there's a discrepancy there. Like, if I was somebody to, like, be on a committee that would say, okay, listen, we have a problem here. Like, I would definitely voice my opinion on that, is that how do you not put them up for a nomination? Like, I mean, their roles were probably so more significant than anybody else's in those.
Especially, like, I think Dear Billy was probably the most, I don't want to say, like, emotional, but, like, that was, like, a big episode. Because you see Max, you know, Vecna comes for her. She's the fourth victim. Which we also think has a connection to, like, the 4 o'clock chime. So that's how they figure out Vecna wants 4 victims. And he comes for Sadie. She's the fourth victim. You know, she plays Max.
Yep.
And just her, like, dynamic with Jamie Campbell Bauer in that scene is so powerful. Like, when she's in his lair.
Yeah.
That was crazy. And then you see, like, you know, like, Lucas and Dustin and Steve, like, screaming and crying at her as she's, like, you know, floating in the air.
Yep.
Because, like, we see, like, right off the bat in episode one, like, what happens to Vecna's victims.
Yeah.
And it is not a good time.
Yeah, it doesn't, I mean, it does not seem like you'd want to be, you'd be caught in that.
No. He, like, sucks the life out of you and breaks all of your bones in the process.
Crazy.
Yep. So, yeah, you know, spoiler alert, obviously, and if you don't like to watch that stuff, then you might have a hard time with season four. Yeah, so if we keep moving along, the last two episodes were definitely, like, huge. Like, I like how, you know, they try to protect Eddie as, like, the newcomer. Because Eddie is under fire by, like, the police department because they think he's performing these, like, satanic rituals. Yeah. Because
of, well, you know why, too, because Jason. That also comes derived, well, also it comes from the, it's spawning from a cultural reference of Dungeons & Dragons, too. Back in the 80s, that game was looked at very negatively from the parent standpoint and their point of view because they didn't understand why their kids were taking on, they were trying to pretend that they were the role playing. They didn't agree with the idea of role playing, them trying to portray different characters. And there was a big issue with that. Even if you go back and you look into it, I just wanted to piggyback on that because that's a very important reference cultural wise back of, you know, the time period that we're in. Dungeons and Dragons did not get a very good reception from the parental standpoint, you know?
Yes. And, like, you could see Jason, like, flaming those fires in the show.
Yep. Like, he's like the townsman, like, putting a group together with pitchforks and fire and flames going after the monster, you know?
Yes.
Eddie.
And, like, speaking of monster, there's, a theory floating around the internet that, like, you know the painting that Will does for Mike?
Yeah.
That Al has him do? It's everybody fighting, like, a three-headed dragon. So, mm-hmm. like, I wonder if, like, the next big bad, like, in, you know, accordance with Vecna and the Mind Flayer, if we're also going to see, like, a Hydra creature of some sort.
Mm.
If that's, like, some foreshadowing.
That is a really interesting pick right there.
Because I'm sure in, like, D&D lore, there has to be some sort of, like...
Oh, there definitely is.
Like a Hydra, you know what I mean? Like the Hydra has a gazillion heads, but well, like
there's definitely different entities. One. Yeah.
Yes.
But I could guarantee you that there is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I don't know. Is that going to be like another like manifestation of the Mind Flayer? I don't know. But wow. That's like another theory that's like rolling around the internet.
That's amazing. What a great pickup.
Yes. I've got a few theories. So, all right, can we, like, circle back to, like, music?
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
So, I think that season 4 has had the best, like, soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the perfect songs have been, like, chosen. So, like, back when Volume 1, like, Part 1 of season 4 came out.
Yeah.
And I was, like, waiting for Matt to watch. And I was like, all right, I'm not going to tell you, but, like, the trailer for season, like, the second half of the back half of season 4 came out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there is a clip of Eddie shredding in the Upside Down, but we don't know what song he's going to play.
I remember we were going back and forth about thinking about songs here.
We were. And, like, I can't remember, but I think you want to say you mentioned Master of Puppets.
No. I did not. I actually thought because of the bell... And the clock?
Yes.
I thought it was Hell's Bells by AC/DC.
Hell's Bells. And then my guesses were For Whom the Bell Tolls and Hallowed Be Thy Name by Iron Maiden.
That would have been awesome. Because being that Eddie...
Iron Maiden right on his vest.
Yeah, and the mascot of Iron Maiden is named Eddie.
Yes, and the kid from his band...
Shout out to Matt Washkush, by the way. He's probably going to love this. He's going to cream all over this.
I'm gonna pretend you just did not say that and move
you
on.
Shut the hell up.
Add that to a list of things Matt's not allowed to say. Ever yeah, again.
Matt can't say cream.
If you're running a rolling tab, it's quite a long list.
Well, you better go back and listen to all 75 episodes, Babel.
Who was it that has the list on paper?
Jamie Kane.
Yeah. We need that list.
Jamie, add that to the list. Cream. Matt cannot use the word cream anymore.
No. Damn it! What was I gonna say? It was
really you were talking. No, we were
talking about For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Yes, yes. So, like, his bandmate / Hellfire Club member is wearing
an Iron Maiden T-shirt.
It's the Iron Maiden album that "Hallowed Be Thy Name" is. It's that album.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, is that foreshadowing? Because, like, if you really analyze Eddie's vest, like, I'm not sure if you took the time to do that, Matt.
Yeah.
So, like, if we start with, like, the most obvious, on the back of his vest is, like, a tribute to Dio.
Oh, man. And so, the funny, like, thing about that is that July was a month to celebrate it in Cortland, New York. It's actually a national, they picked a day specifically out in Cortland, New York to celebrate Ronnie James Dio, because that's where he's from.
Okay.
So how about that being that, like, okay, you're releasing Stranger Things in July. Conveniently, season 4 comes for July and everything like that. And that Ronnie James Dio reference. Yeah, it's a specific day that they picked out in Cortland, New York to celebrate Ronnie James Dio.
Nice.
Yep.
Dio. Yeah, that's like the whole, like, back patch.
That's awesome.
Yes. There's also, like, because he's got, like, pins and patches, like, over it.
That was the thing back in the day, you know?
Yeah, it 100% was. It 100% was. But there's also, I know Iron Maiden's on there.
Mm-hmm. No Metallica, though. I didn't see anything of a Metallica reference coming.
I didn't either.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And then there was some things that I, like, I didn't recognize.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the first thing was definitely, like, the back patch, which is, you know, like, Dio. Dio's actually in another movie, if you remember. He was in Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny. They also did a tribute.
If you are talking about music, you can't forget the very popular track that's all over radio right now called Running Up That Hill.
Yeah,
A Deal with God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that is actually, the funny thing about that song, now that's actually by Kate Bush. Now yes. that song was back in 1985. That is a real song. And now, obviously, it didn't spark, you know, big things like it did, you know, in the day. But now, all of a sudden, because of Stranger Things, it really catapulted the track, and now it's back on the...
Oh, she's making like $2 million a week because of it. It's fantastic.
So good for her.
And, like, I thought that was a really great pick
by
the Duffer Brothers.
Definitely.
Also, I dislike people that are trying to, like, because, like, you know, like we're talking about Master Puppets. And Metallica is also thrilled that there's, like, a new generation of, like, Metallica fans now.
Yep. And they even came out on social media, like, saying, like, listen, diehard Metallica fans, we love you. We know who you are. But, you know, quit going after younger generations to explore us. I mean, this happens in any somewhere. Type of generation. We all start somewhere.
Yes. So, like, I don't know, like, if you're just picking up on Metallica's music, like, welcome to the club, friends. Welcome to the club.
Yep. You're getting my arms wide open right now, so.
Okay, Scott Stapp. I think it was a Wasp pin, if I'm not wrong.
Fit the bill, because Wasp was big back in the day. They were a hair metal band, thrash metal.
I was like, what's other songs? Like, I was so sure it was going to be Iron Maiden, but I absolutely love that it was Master of Puppets, and when I was watching the scene, like, as soon as it starts, and I was like, Metallica. I was like, this is it. And, like, I, like, crawled off the couch and, like, I'm, like, sitting in front of the TV with, like, just, like, the biggest smile on my face. That's definitely probably one of my favorite scenes in the entire show.
100%.
And, like, I thought it was funny because, like, I was looking at, like, other fan predictions and like, some kids were like, oh, it's going to be Journey. I'm like, there is no way that Eddie the Metalhead is going to play, like, Journey or, like...
If that happened, I would have shut it off. Well, what are we going to play? The wheels in the sky keep turning here, people? Let's go.
Or no, don't stop believing.
No, but, like, what was the Journey song that was in this season?
Well, they did. That is actually one of my favorite Journey tracks. That song, Some and Days Love Will Find You.
Yes.
Yep.
And I thought that it was perfect, like, in the scene when, like, you see, like, both parties.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, in the States. And, like, I'm not counting, you know, our Russian friends that are, you know, in the Russian party there.
Yeah.
But, like, if we just think about, like, California and Hawkins and, like, that song comes on, I'm like, this is fire.
That,
like,
was a remix of Separate Ways by Journey, by the way.
Separate Ways, yes.
Yes.
I thought, like, hell of a track, by the way. That, it was fire.
Yep. Like, if you haven't heard that song, you need to go and listen to it, because it's a pretty good pump-up song. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, if Journey had a good beef-up song, like, that's one of their, like, all right, like, let's fucking let's rip the roof down off this fucking place. Like, that song will do it, you know?
Yes, and then also, there's also a theory out there that Will was able to hide in the Upside Down for as long as he did in season one.
Yeah.
Is because he kept singing the Clash song that Jonathan played for him.
Yep.
I don't think that's theory. I think that's just fact. Because, I mean, you know how music saves people in there. Like, it saved Max, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right, but he wasn't, like, I don't know. He wasn't, like, a victim yet, though. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
right,
like,
right.
The Demogorgons were hunting him down. So, like, I feel like the Demogorgons don't have anything to do with music, though.
Yep.
I don't know.
So, but I don't know. I think there's, like, there's definitely, like, this season's soundtrack for me was, like, absolute fire.
Agree.
I totally made a playlist for it because
well deserved.
What else did we get? We got Metallica. There was
Who I'm currently listening to right now.
Metallica.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you had you. I think you had Detroit Rock City in there too by Kiss. Mm-hmm. I know Psycho Killer by the Talking Heads was in there. Object of My Desire, Starpoint. I think there's even Extreme in there too. I just can't remember what song it was by, or what song it was by them. You Spin Me Around Like a Record, that was in there.
Yes.
By Dead or Alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, no, there was a lot of good tunes, a lot of good songs, you know?
Yes.
Well,
Victor's father. Oh no, Victor Creel is the father.
Yeah, Victor Creel is the father.
His song was like that creepy "Dream a Little Dream of Me."
Yep, and I that's another Nightmare on Elm Street type of reference there. Dream a little, you know.
Yeah, I thought that was well done.
Yep, and that's cool.
So we see our heroes, and they do not defeat the Vecna. Which we find out so much about his character. He's actually, like, you know, Papa's first victim.
Yep.
And, yeah, I don't know where it's going to go from here because, you know, the final...
Shit's going to hit the fan.
It is, because, like, the final scene, we see, you know, our friends, and they're standing in front of, like, a Hawkins burning.
Yep. But the thing is that now we're finding that the Upside Down is now becoming a reality of real life of where they're living and what they're doing in real life, you know?
Yes.
So that ending scene where they're all watching things burning in the distance and things breaking and the particles coming down, it's now that it's their world leaking into ours.
Yes. 100%.
That's where we're going next.
I hope my like last hope and dream though is like I really hope Eddie's not dead.
It's I'll tell you I'm going to tell you I think it's a long shot. Like for you I hope you get what you want. I mean, I think it would be cool.
Yeah,
but I'm pretty sure they sucked the life out of him, you know.
I don't know though because like they're being very cryptic, just like they were being cryptic about Hopper, and I'm like you could just do it again. Like everybody would be thrilled.
I think we gave Eddie a great sign off though, because Dustin at the end interacting with his uncle there trying to put up the missing, and that's what killed me. There was that scene.
I don't see how you bring him back after that scene.
And and that's what I want to agree with Zach on this. Like after having such an emotional moment that you've built there for that and to an homage to pay the respect of Eddie, I think it was well put onto Dustin's part to deliver that message where not only was he innocent, he was a hero. And he was.
Now, trust
me,
anybody to bring anybody back after a scene like that, it's going to be the Duffer brothers. But I just don't see it.
I hope. I will have hope. It's okay, but like, I don't know. Like,
hope is good. Star Wars. Hope is good.
Right? I thought the actor, Joseph Quinn, I thought he did a fantastic job. And like, this past weekend, there was like a Stranger Con somewhere. And like, the fans and like everybody just like loves him and his character, and he's so like humbled and like taken aback by like how much everybody loves Eddie.
He was great character, so, great actor.
I also hope Nancy dumps Jonathan and gets back with Steve.
Okay,
I hope that as well.
Well, I mean, it would fit the theme of the current world that nice guys always finish last, so.
There's nothing wrong with Jonathan. It's just that, like, long-distance relationships are hard.
Yeah. Just saying.
But, like, I don't know. Like, maybe they're going to move back to Hawkins now.
Maybe.
Like, there's, you know, what are they going to go back to? A house in California that's, like, shot up?
Well,
you know
I mean? I think it's pretty self-explanatory that they have to stay and fight.
Yes.
They
and
have
I
to stay and
finish this. I 100% sure think that's going to happen.
And I think, too, where Hopper and... Joyce are, they need to stick together at this point.
Yes, I don't see them, like, separating. Even, like, Murray. Yeah. Murray is, like, a part of the family now.
100%. He's, like, the crazy uncle. He's Uncle like, Eddie, you know?
What I think is going to be interesting, though, is, like, what is going to happen to, like, Hawkins' residence? Because as we see, like, Mike's family didn't leave.
Yeah.
Like, you see a bunch of people, like, funneling out, but when, you
know... People are staying, though.
when the California team gets back to Hawkins, yeah, there's people everywhere. There's people staying.
I think the people that are going to stay. Shelters. Yeah, I think the people that stay are going to help the kids fight.
Yep.
I hope.
I think so.
I think they're going to realize that they're in serious danger and they have two choices. They can either run from it and abandon the kids or stay and help the kids fight.
I also hope that Max is like, I hope Vecna still has Max. And that's why when Elle like went into her brain, it looked like she was like brain dead.
Yeah.
So I think that would be very interesting. And I hope that's not the last we see of Sadie.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to get her back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I think that the way that they did like Eddie's death and then immediately went to like Sadie, like that, like just like killed me because like I was sad. And then like, the actor that plays Lucas, he improvised a lot of that scene, especially when he was yelling for Erica to go get help.
Yep.
That was all like improv. So it was, like, I feel like emotional. He did like such great work in that scene.
That's what I said. Give credit to these kids that are acting. Like, I mean, this is a real star-studded group that you have, you know?
Yeah, and, like, you see, you know, Lucas in the beginning 100%. Of season 4, and, like, he's with, like, the jocks, and he's, like, you know, like, growing up, and he's like, I don't want to play Dungeons & Dragons anymore. And then, you know, like, he finds his way back to Max.
But he came back to us. Yep.
Yes. And, like, there was also, like, when we just had part 1 out, I really thought that the school counselor was going to be somehow connected to Vecna.
Interesting.
Because Chrissy saw her, Max saw her, and so did Nancy's friend.
Right.
They all saw her, so I was like, oh, I bet, like, that's, like, one of, like, the puppets, because they're just getting information about these kids, and they're gonna pick the most broken ones.
Yep.
So, I don't know. So that has yet to unfold, because we haven't seen a lick of her since the beginning episodes.
Indeed.
So, I'm not too sure about that either.
Well, I think that kind of, I mean, not to, you know, bring out the curtain and the cane here, guys, but we really are stretching at the end of the time here. Are there any other final thoughts that we could add to our Stranger Things episode?
No, it's a great show. I'm really looking forward to season 5. Yeah,
definitely.
Get out there and watch it.
Yep, and like you just said, cheers, and I can't wait for season 5, whether it be 2023 or 2024, I'm going to be watching for it statically.
Agreed.
So, before we leave, just real quick, I just want to give a quick announcement here. Two giveaways coming up. So, as everybody does know from last year, we had a great and successful giveaway for the Labor Day weekend. We will be coming back with that once again. And that Labor Day giveaway is going to benefit the Toys for Tots drop-off that we will do. Yes. So, we are really hoping for a better, obviously, result. Not that we're saying we were disappointed in the result last year, but we're just hoping to do better.
Yep.
And another giveaway that we're going to be doing, featuring for next month, is that we're going to be doing some pizza giveaways for the month of August. So stick tight, listen to the next couple episodes, because I got a couple pizza parlors that are really interested in letting us give them some airtime here locally on our Garlic Jar podcast show. So stay tuned for that. Other than that, though, Jen, I mean, could you wrap it up? Zach, could you wrap it up for us? Anybody?
Yeah, so, all right, everybody, that is going to be it for today's episode. If you ever want to let us know about something you want us to discuss on air, you can email us at garlicjarmedia@gmail.com, or you can, you know, reach out on any of our social media platforms. We're on pretty much all of them. And, yeah, thanks for sticking with us this far, and we will be back next week with another episode.
Good night, guys. With a high glass, a piccolo, and a king.